Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
The fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio.
Replay.
That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save.
Save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio now on demand.
The new celebration rules are in place and Pepsi is all for it. Antonio, what have you got in mind? Bit of a throwback. Looks like the Charleston. You never see that in football or anywhere.
On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And you know what, you can learn more about me, right, at BennyRandall.com. Or you can go over to our private community at BennyOnDemand.com. Like always, I'm humbled that you allow me into your house and your homes. And we have another extraordinary show. You know, all our shows are extraordinary, but they just get better with time, just like a fine wine. And this young lady we have on is no exception to the rule. Her name is Cheryl Snap Connor. Cheryl is a thought leader, presenter, and author who is working to raise the bar for innovative PR that drives business growth. Since 1986, she has led PR programs for companies ranging from early stage startups to Fortune 1000 organizations. She is a Forbes.com contributor and has been featured in the Huffington Post and the Wall Street Journal. She graduated magna cum laude from Brigham Young University. And she is also one of the superstars of this new powerful book. And that's why we have her here today, ladies and gentlemen. Because she is a champion, and she's going to tell today. Cheryl, thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show.
Wow, I'm impressed. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Cheryl, for those that may not know you, may not have heard of you, maybe been under a rock somewhere, can you give us a little insight of who Cheryl outside of the little bio that we just presented to our listeners?
Sure. I've been a professional writer ever since college. I did my first PR work through a college position at Brigham Young University. The Fine Arts College had its own PR department. I got to be a member of that. So with an English minor, that really became my career opportunity and strength. I landed in public relations by fortunate destiny or accident, I suppose, but I'm one of the few people who can say that I'm fortunate enough to be doing the work I believe I was probably born to do, because I really love it, I'm fulfilled by it, and getting to be a contributor and columnist has gotten me very much more deeply involved in my industry and in everything to do with communication at large, so I'm fortunate to get that opportunity.
Now, I'm curious, you said you fell into this by accident. What do you mean by that?
Well, I was a major in family resource management. I thought that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom and was preparing to do that as well as I could. I loved home economics, sewing, cooking, nutrition, all of those things were great. And because of my interest in writing, I had a minor in English. And that ended up being the career path that I've chosen and been successful at. I had no idea in college. And in fact, during that time period, which was in the early 80s, we were really discouraged from a major field of study like English, that it just wasn't aligned enough for a career. Now I think the tides have turned and it's an ideal preparation for a career. At this point, if you don't communicate well, you are up against a lot of disadvantage. And communication pretty much runs the business universe. So I'm very grateful to have that background. And it turned out to be what I do for a living.
Mm, you were preaching to the choir. She said communication. That's all.
A professional communicator, yes.
There you go, Cheryl. That's what you're talking to right here. That's all I've did all my life was talk. I talk so much, I lost so many girlfriends. But we're not here. All right, but it's not about me. It's about Cheryl here today. Cheryl, Champions Never Tell. How did you get into this collaboration with these other awesome six women?
Well, I'm a friend of one of the two partners in that project, Christy Rutherford.
Mm-hmm.
She let me know about the project late in the game and said, I'd like to invite you. Would you be willing to be one of the authors? And I kind of laughed and I said, well, certainly I'd be happy to, but I'm one of the very fortunate people who've never been sexually harassed, so I don't know if I have much to share.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, I then thought back to my first corporate position. Well, I was not grabbed or groped or threatened, but there were situations that led directly to me within 2 years breaking out into my own business. I had really somewhat put that behind me and forgotten about it until this discussion and Christy making that invitation to me. And I realized I do have a lot to offer in telling what those situations were like, how I dealt with it, how really corporations and individuals could deal much better with what I faced, because my company meant well and they handled my situation really, really well, but it directly led to my leaving corporate life and starting my own business. Not long before I joined the tech company, Novell, I started to be stalked by a member of the company. And this person wasn't making romantic overtures. He wasn't grabbing me. And in fact, I couldn't point to a single thing that would warrant a call to HR. But he gave me the creeps because he kept incessantly asking for meetings. And they were things that somewhat pertained to my role.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I had the right to refuse. I was heading public relations for this company, and he was coming forward and saying, I have sources for you, I have stories for you, setting these meetings. And in the discussions, he would talk and talk and ramble and wander around the bush, start telling me about his childhood, his deepest secrets, and then end the discussion with something like, in one case, and now you're the one person in the world who knows my deepest secrets. And I just thought, this is a little strange. I went so far as to ask my recording supervisor, this gentleman had lined up an appointment with someone, an article source, and it was a 45-minute drive away. And so I told my reporting supervisor, I can't put my finger on anything directly wrong that he said or done, but could you require that I drive my own car and have my own way to this interview? And he said, absolutely, certainly. So I did. And time went on, and the situation got worse. He ultimately, at one point, left a paper on my chair, and it was there was information on it, and he said, this is the marketing plan for this company. I've created it for you. You're welcome. This is my personal gift. This is how you were to market this company. Well, that was just an absurd thing to put upon someone, and it was an obligation, clearly. This person had been hired apparently directly by the CEO. The CEO had known him, had known him from family background. I guess he'd been a pool cleaner or something, and wanted to give him a hand up, so gave him a chance at this role. And that made this situation more complicated because I was just very fearful of letting down the CEO or in any way messing up this situation where he was trying to give this individual, despite him being somewhat eccentric, give him a good job opportunity. And here I am messing it up in some way or being a distraction or creating a lot of attention that would make it really awkward for me to think, oh dear, you know, this company gave a girl a shot at the PR role. With, this is what happens.
Mm.
So...
No. I want to.
This is very awkward.
I want to interject here for a second. Now, most of us have an intuitiveness. Some of us ignore it. Some of us don't ignore it. What did your gut feeling tell you? What was going on here with this gentleman?
Nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. I even told my then mother-in-law. I just said I can't really put my finger on it, but something's not right. And she talked to me about it, and she got it. But I didn't feel safe stepping forward. I didn't feel that my gut instinct was enough for me to file a complaint. You know, that had a lot of ramifications. I didn't want to be the catalyst for that kind of attention. So until he left that marketing plan on my chair, basically with orders that I was to somehow make this happen in the company and that it was a gift from him that he had written the marketing plan and I was to put it forward. I mean, that was the most absurd thing. I took it to the vice president I worked for. And she said, this is creepy. She just said, cut off all contact with him. So now I did have that authorization and instruction to at least not accept any more discussions. Well, then he went into overdrive. He started sending all kinds of emails. At first they were admiring, and then they were angry and threatening. He didn't know, none of us knew back then, that company emails were a new phenomenon. The companies own the email. That is not private or protected communication.
Mm-hmm.
So I took those emails to that vice president. She took the emails to HR and called the police. They issued a restraining order, and the fellow was called in and fired.
Okay, let's back up for a minute, though, Cheryl, because you went through that kind of fast. So let's back up for a second. What was in this marketing plan? I'm just curious, as my listeners would probably be, what was in this particular marketing plan that made you skeptical or wary, like, this is not normal? I want my listeners to understand that.
It was just a few bullet points of random information. So it was really not a marketing plan. It was just somebody who had a bit of an issue, little grandiosity. Here are my ideas. This should be so. Now you, based on my grand instruction, make it so. You've been given instructions from the gods kind of thing.
Did you feel he was pulling a power move on you?
Oh, absolutely. It was a power move. And in any corporation, for their marketing strategy to be formed or enacted in such a way, it's just absurd.
Mm.
You know, this is a market-leading technology company. So let alone that I was in public relations, I wasn't even over the marketing. But the decisions about what direction to go, how to do it, those are carefully researched and contemplated decisions. A lot goes into a company's marketing strategy. They went public. So this is a publicly traded company, no less.
So in other words, he was showing you something, I guess, to show, hey, I got a little power over you. You might want to cooperate with me, or this might not be good for you. Is that what you were getting from that?
And that it was kind of like a God complex, this grandiosity that the genius has spoken, and here is your gift. I am giving you this brilliance and trusting you as the person who makes it so.
Wow, that's deep. And now let us fast forward a little bit. Now, you say after that fact, you begin to get, invitations that was a little out of place, maybe dinner. What was in those weird invitations, I guess I want to ask?
Well, he went running with me a couple of times. I ran for exercise, so that wasn't so odd. But then when I cut off all contact, the worst situation was one where he called me at night. I was at home. You know, I'm a mother. I've got 4 children. Anyway, he phoned me up and said that if I wouldn't agree to meet with him for a discussion, he was going to get drunk and commit suicide.
Wow.
So
the elevator didn't go to the top, I'm assuming.
Clearly, there were some issues that he kept saying he didn't want anything. All he needed was to be properly understood, and I just clearly wasn't doing that, so there needed to be more discussions until he was convinced that I properly understood him, because he was being maligned. His reputation was at stake if I didn't understand the, I guess, I don't know what, honorable or magnanimous motives for this behavior I was cutting him off for.
Mm-hmm. That is
so
very powerful.
Just couldn't go away. So it was classic psychological grooming behavior.
Wow.
That I didn't recognize. I had no concept what that was. I didn't think you could go to somebody and complain about that. These days, you know, so much time has passed. I've heard from some people that I'm intimidating. People don't mess with me. And I would have the capability in my current role in life to just put something like that to an immediate stop. You know, I would interrupt the person, I would end the discussion, and it would be over. You know, I'd be courteous about it, but there would not be any chance of a situation like that being able to take hold.
Very powerful.
I was a brand new professional and, you know, thought this person was connected to the CEO. You know, at a minimum, it would be very embarrassing. And what should I do and when should I do it? I had no idea.
Sounds like you didn't want to ruffle any feathers. And so we're going to interject right here for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're joining us, you're listening to the Benny Randall Show. We're speaking to Cheryl Snap Connor. We'll be right back after this short break.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. Keep it locked. Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow-drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kind of love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Yeah. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. We global. BashaniRadio.com. New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
We are back. You are listening to Bashani Radio and worldwide on iHeart Radio. This is the Benny Randall Show. Another great, powerful show we're having today. Our guest is Cheryl Snap Connor, and she's one of the 7 powerful women in this new book called Champions Never Tell. And she's given us an extraordinary experience of going through something that most people would just keep to themselves because they don't want to ruffle feathers. But not only did she go through it, she got through it. And that's why we're having this conversation today. And I want to ask you, on leading into that, Cheryl, what was the period of time between this harassment to the time where he was no longer there? What was the period of time?
I have a hard time remembering, but I was hired by the company in 1986, and I was there not that long. A lot happened during that time period. I was hired as a writer. Within 90 days, was made PR manager, rose from there to PR director, and the company went through 4 acquisitions and its IPO during that time. But in all, it was really only, I believe, 2.5 years. But that whole situation had come and gone within, I believe, about 6 months, maybe 8 or 9. So it got pretty intense pretty quickly and then got dealt with.
Wow. So let me ask you, because sometimes things go on for years. What can women who may be in a situation similar to that and feeling like, okay, if I say this, I'm going to ruffle feathers, and they just sit back and decide to take it. What can they do to start the process of getting it dealt with?
Well, first of all, I would say education is important for everyone, corporations and for individuals, that what kind of behavior constitutes stalking or harassment. So it's not just that somebody made a romantic overture or grabbed you or made a sexual threat.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are obvious, or was obviously bullying you. But if somebody is incessantly following you, tracking you, trying to create an exclusive connection with you over other people, or make you feel obligated to do things that are outside of your job description on their behalf, that's a problem. So first off, I would go to a reporting supervisor and just say, here's what's happened. I would like to enlist your help in how I should handle this. It could be as simple as, I'm being asked for a lot of time to cover these things, so I want to confirm, is this a part of my job description, or how should I be handling this? Something as simple as that would not have been embarrassing and would have maybe been key to stopping that situation right in its tracks.
Cheryl, let me ask you this. Do you think this happens more often nowadays than it ever, seeing that we're in this situation now where I call it the Weinstein movement, which is basically made a catalyst of things come to the forefront, you know, in the hashtag Me Too. So the timing of this book is extraordinary. Champions Never Tell. Do you think it is happening more now than ever? And if so, why?
Well, interestingly, I think that it's been pervasive for generations. And in fact, I can name things that I observed that could never happen now, just because we've gotten more advanced, communication is stronger, it's become illegal, in fact, to discriminate. Doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, but because there is that level of regulation and requirement, I think that for generations, people got away with bad behavior because they could, and it's just not as possible anymore. So I think open communication is a better thing now. I mean, I'm stunned at the things coming forward out of the entertainment industry, out of broadcasting. It is just horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, until all of this started, I actually had more of an opinion. I felt more sympathy towards the companies that were wrongly accused, because that's an issue too, that somebody, for example, is let go and they're unhappy, and so they retaliate by trumping up made-up charges. That somebody told an off-color joke and they turn it into a whole culture of harassment and discrimination. And it's trial by press. And I've seen companies and executives taken down, wrongly taken down, because by the time due process happens, generally what happens is the individual or the company just settle to finally get past the agony. And regardless of how it came out, either there's a confidentiality put on it, or the press doesn't care anymore anyway. That has really had me concerned. But then on the other hand, all of this material that's coming forward that's true, that people felt afraid to say anything about, I think that's just stunning. I think it's a hugely beneficial thing that we're starting to become aware of this, and at least positive conversation and thinking around what are we going to do? This is just not acceptable. We're going to have to find another way to work and live. This just can't continue.
So
I think it's gone on for generations.
Let me ask you this, Cheryl. A lot of times it happens one way. Do you think it happens both ways? And what I mean men and women get into these uncomfortable positions. And why are we only hearing, I mean, we're starting to hear some of the men's stories too. But for a long time, it was like, you know, if a woman harassed a man, it's like, oh man, you know, you're soft, you're a punk, you should be happy, a woman coming at you that way, et cetera, versus the opposite way. Do you think there's a double standard or something when it comes to men being harassed?
I absolutely think that it works both ways. Absolutely. The harassment happens both ways. It works both ways. I think more men are reluctant to come forward even than women because it makes them feel weak or diminished. That, you know, can you imagine? I think it's more likely that a man would think, oh, I'm just mortified that I wasn't able to handle it myself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because I forgot the actor that was just on Good Morning America. I forgot it come to my head. You know, he described his situation and how he, and he's a big guy. So, you know, Terry Collins, I think that's what his name. Don't quote me on that. But he described how, you know, he went through something similar to that, but he had to restrain himself because he was new into this entertainment business and he knew he would come off as the bad person. Do you think companies need to hire people that are dedicated just to that type of situations?
Yes, I think companies need to be a lot more capable and up to date with the real situations in HR. That, for example, the company I work for, they handled that situation, and then I had another different situation afterwards. They handled both of them exceptionally well. So the problem was really my fear. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And that I don't think either the company or I understood what constituted grooming behavior and what to do about it. Didn't have a clue. That was new territory.
What do you want women and men to get from Champions Never Tell? What do you want them to walk away with?
I want them to understand that they have every right and even responsibility to protect their own boundaries. That to get the kind of information that gives them skills in knowing how to protect their boundaries. If somebody is merely asking for more time than they should ask from you, or creating too many meetings that are wandering around the bush, you know, learn how to handle those situations. Learn how to take charge. Learn how to say, I have 10 minutes. What do we need to accomplish in 10 minutes? Or that doesn't pertain to my position. I'm happy to refer you to the right person, but I need to move on. And stand up and walk out of the room rather than fall victim to listening to a person ramble around the bush for an hour, leave feeling creepy and not know what to do about it and not feel you have the right to do anything about it. That's not good for anyone. So education, I think, and that boils down to communication skills too, but also savvy companies that can provide better education and can act upon situations earlier and in a more productive way.
Cheryl, how many years ago did this happen to you?
It was in the late 1980s.
So why are you just coming out with it now?
I've quite frankly forgotten about it.
So you buried it. You buried it in your memory?
I don't think buried is so apt a description as just I'd made it a non-issue by leaving the corporate world and starting my own business. That was one of the big reasons for me doing that, is that I could then control my own workplace and my own environment. And not only in that stalking situation, but I also had a very overbearing vice president that was doing things that were really unproductive and unfair. And there again, I didn't feel like I had the right to go and complain. That would be a deadly thing to do. But I thought, if I go into business for myself, I can't be required to work late nights unless there is a genuine requirement and I have agreed to the situation. I then have control over my own salary because I can charge fair rates for what I do. All of that proved to be true. So because I'd gone out on my own so early in my career, that was how I took back control. And I think that's why it no longer really registered in my memory, because I didn't have to think about those things. I gained more skills on my own to control my own outcomes and enacted them. So basically it was no longer relevant to me until I was asked, would you like to join us in writing this book? And I said, I don't really have anything to tell. And then thought back and thought, oh, that was really a situation that a lot of women probably face, but they're not sure what to do about it. So this would be a very constructive thing to share further and to make part of the dialogue.
Very, very powerful. Cheryl, we're coming down to the last couple. When you're having fun, time goes so fast. Really, your story is extraordinary. The story of the other six women, all seven of you, are extraordinary. What do you want your legacy to be when you leave?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What would you like your legacy to be when you leave?
I would like my legacy to be that I contributed, that I left every environment that I've been within, whether professionally or personally, better than I found it, that I've added value, not just been there, not just participated, but have contributed.
Very powerful. Words really do matter. My final question to you is, why do you even care?
Oh, communications is power. Words do matter. And in fact, the book that I wrote, I wanted the title to be Beyond Words. And Forbes wanted it to be Beyond PR because that's my beat assignment. Mm-hmm. But it really is beyond words, the level of power that we all hold to our benefit or to our detriment, depending on how we use it. But that is the currency that creates every relationship, that creates every business transaction, whether you do it with honor or opportunistically or as a bully. All of those things are forms of communication. So we have a gift, but a responsibility to use that gift wisely, to our benefit and to the benefit of others as well.
Extraordinary. If people want to learn more about you, want to learn about this book, where could they go, Cheryl?
Just go to Amazon. And of course, the book, the current book, Champions Never Tell, is out on Amazon now. It came out just several days ago. That is available in audio, Kindle, or in paperback for order. So I do encourage people to read the book. It would be very, very uplifting to anyone, and I think it contribute to some very productive conversations. But in terms of me personally, Google search on my name, go to Forbes and see a good collection of the columns I've written. More than 560 columns I've written for Forbes in the past 4 years. Most of them on communication, so that could be a value as well. And then, of course, my website and our Content University program.
I know I said that was my final question, but I gotta hit you with this before we leave. Cheryl, if you could have one job for the rest of your life and you would never, ever receive a paycheck for it, what would it be?
It would genuinely be the job I have, communicating. So, like I said, I am one of the people doing the work that I was probably born to do. Now, I'd probably be more selective and do less of it, but I would do exactly what I'm doing now.
Absolutely.
Communicating to help other executives and companies be more successful.
Extraordinary. Your final words.
I hope everyone really reflects on the power they have in communication and really thinks day to day, if you really understood the power your words and communication have, you would stand up straighter, you would comb your hair, you would be a little bit kinder. Think about that power. Generations from now, how will the world be different because of what you did and what you communicated, and use that power well.
Cheryl, thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show. We really appreciate your contribution to Champions Never Tell and your contribution to this program at this moment. And we thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. I'm honored.
You are listening to the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And if you didn't learn anything from here, I hope you leave with this. Always be true to who you are. Always be true to what you are about. And remember, no one has power over you unless you authorize it. No one has been given power over you unless you authorize it. So you are in charge of you. Just like Cheryl and all these other women, they took their power and did what was absolutely necessary. And now they're turning back around to serve the world with this masterpiece. Until next week, I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.